Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
It's normally our sermon series are a little bit longer, but this is a powerful sermon series on multiplication. And we always come at the end of every sermon series. So this one's just 2 weeks. Pastor Sheree opened us up last week with multiplication. And so at the end of every sermon series, we come back to our theme for this year, which is bear good fruit. We want to encourage you. What kind of fruit are you bearing in your life? Bearing good fruit. What kind of fruit are we talking about? And it's the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is what the Holy Spirit, when we open our lives up to the Holy Spirit, this is the kind of fruit that God produces in our lives, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is what is supposed to be coming out of our lives. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to take control and say, Holy Spirit, listen, we're not normally good at loving. We're not normally good at having joy or peace in our lives. That's where Holy Spirit comes in and totally transforms us with these things. And so this is a great list to look at. How is love in your life? How are you doing at loving people? What about joy? I'll tell you, joy, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. And so if you're weak today, man, ask him to fill you up with some joy. How about peace? Peace does not come from our surroundings. In fact, if you look at what's surrounding us, peace does not come from there. How about patience? Anybody praying for patience lately? Man, that's a tough prayer request. Get ready for that. All right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things. Use this list as a way to evaluate life. How am I doing in these areas? Because that's what I think the Lord is asking. And when we give the ask the Holy Spirit to come in, it's incredible that this is what he grows in our lives. I want to add one more to this list. Now, I'm not adding anything to the scripture, but I think if Paul was here, he would tell us there's another one, and that is generosity. Living in generosity. Generosity is some of the fruit of the Spirit working inside of us. It's important to take time. And so looking at that, last week, Pastor Sheree kicked us off in this series of multiplication. And I want to tell you, the church, you and I, and listen, we don't just come to church. We are the church. So if you're just coming, you need to step it up, become the church. And what that means is we're going to ask the Lord, God, what would you have me do? I don't want to just come and sit in a pew. I want to be used by you, God. I want you to use me in my life. I want to multiply. When we multiply, we're focused on filling heaven, bringing as many people into heaven as we can. We're not talking about subtraction or division or even just addition. God has called us to multiply as believers. The personal call in our life is to multiply God's kingdom, because when we multiply the kingdom, that means people's lives are being transformed. That means addictions are broken. That means brokenness, people are healed. You start to see life completely transformed, and I want to tell you, it's powerful. I was in our men's group a couple weeks ago, and I was so amazed. We had about 15 guys in the room, and to hear all of their stories of transformation is so amazing. That's what really gets me all fired up, is when we get to be part of this process of multiplication. The personal call in our life is to multiply God's kingdom, and the corporate call on this church is to multiply the kingdom of God, to grow and to bring more people in so that their lives are changed. I want you to know, I think the world needs what we have. I think the world needs Jesus today. That's the answer. When we look at what we're facing as a nation and around the world, the need is Jesus. He changes everything. I want you to know the difference one person can make for the kingdom when they bear good fruit and allow the Holy Spirit to multiply is amazing. You have the power to transform the world around you when you partner with Holy Spirit. If people bear good fruit personally, then a church will bear good fruit corporately. It'll be multiplied and it will be unstoppable. A great picture of what has happened in the church is Acts 2, 41 through 47. Listen to this, and this is where the church was started. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Could you imagine in one day 3,000 people giving their lives to Jesus? Man, I want to see that. I don't want to just read about it. I want to see it in my lifetime. Could you imagine in one day what would happen if 3,000 people came and gave their lives to the Lord? It would be transformation. I mean, crazy. all, and say this word all. That means you, everybody's, let's say it together, all. Some of you didn't want to say it because that means that you're in the all. But it says, look what Paul, all the believers devoted themselves in the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. Will you say that word all again? All. Because the thing is, the kingdom of heaven is about all of us coming together and seeing God work. It's not just 5 people or 10 people. It's all of us coming together. And all the believers, oh, say it again. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. The spirit of generosity began to rise up. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy. And there's that word, generosity. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. That's where the church started. When we hear this, do you know that somewhere around 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. He calls his disciples. He went up on the cross for us. Then we read the book of Acts where this all started. And from then until now, over 40 billion people have called themselves Christians on this earth. 2.2 billion right now. That's called multiplication. Where did it all start, though? It all started when Jesus called 12 disciples. And that's where we go back to today in Matthew 10, 9 through 10. These were the sending instructions of 12 disciples who would literally multiply into billions of people. Think about that for just a minute. 12 disciples. And you know what's crazy about the 12 disciples is a lot of people think they were in their mid-20s or earlier. They were all young people who God called and said, listen, you are going to take this message. I am calling you. And these were the sending instructions. Pastor Sheree started with it last week. Then we're going to continue with it here. Matthew 10, 9 through 10. Don't take any money in your money belts. No gold, silver, or even copper coins. These were the instructions. Jesus came to the disciples and said, listen, this is what I want you to do. Don't take any money in your money belts. No gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes and sandals or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. This makes absolutely no sense from a human perspective. How many of you would leave on a trip and not take any money and not take any of your clothes? You just pick up and go. That's what Jesus came and said to these disciples. God would take care of every one of their needs. I want you to know, you have been called for a purpose. Every person in this room has a calling on their life. Every person in this room, if they will ask God to show them what that calling is, he will do it. And then when he calls, it's our job to step up and then be available. And listen to what God's called. It's multiplication that starts with subtraction in this case. Leave all your money behind. Leave all your possessions behind. The people that you're going to minister to will take care of all of your needs. It was a radical request from Jesus. He still calls us today to leave behind all of the things of this world that keep us from accomplishing the mission that God has called for our lives. The mission of building God's kingdom. Every one of us, that's what we've been called to do, is build the kingdom of God. Not just your pastors, not just the four of us, but when God puts a church together, that's the call of the church, is to build the kingdom of God, to go into the highways and the byways, to go into the circles of influence in your life and meet those people who need to know about Jesus. We're called to multiply, to step out of our comfort zones, to be willing to say, God, everything I have is yours. Everything you brought into my time, my talents, my treasures, that's what generosity means. That's what radical generosity. And when we step out in radical generosity, what we're going to see is we're going to see multiplication. Even in your own finances, you'll see God multiply when you hand them over to him. That's why some people, when we talk about tithing, you can't understand how God's going to do more with your 90% than you could ever do with your 100% when you give him that 10%. It's amazing with generosity what God does. God may not call you to step out to be in full-time vocational ministry, but he is definitely calling you to build his kingdom. You might go, well, then how does this apply to me? Well, get ready, because I'm going to tell you, all right? Every one of us has a role in multiplying in the kingdom. And if you notice in that scripture that we just read, it said this, Jesus said this to the disciples, don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. So I wonder where that hospitality is going to come from. And I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from you and I who are saying, listen, we are going to support people who are stepping out in full-time ministry. We're going to be the ones that get this kingdom and move the kingdom of God forward. The greatest resource God has is you and I. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our stuff, but he needs us. And if we'll step out and we'll be obedient and we'll do what God has called us to do, that's how we multiply the kingdom. Jesus makes it clear, every one of us are going to be called to do something in this kingdom perspective. The hospitality that Jesus was talking about was going to come from everyone who called themselves a believer. God's people were going to take care of the needs who Jesus called to spread the gospel. Jesus called his people to generously take care of those people serving in full-time ministry. That call is still the same today. We multiply the kingdom of God by going, by doing. And when Jesus calls us to go, multiplication in the kingdom also happens when we generously give of our finances, our time, our talent. He can do so much more with you and your talents and your giftings and your finances than you can do alone. We play a key role in multiplying. I was just thinking of our building today. Do you know this week, we now own this building. Hope City owns this building. And do you know, here's what's amazing about that, is we didn't pay a dime for it. It was given to us, okay? And here's, as I was sitting thinking about that this week, 30 years ago when this place was built, there was a group of believers who sacrificed so that we could have what we have today. It didn't just happen. People gave of their time, their talent. This was a church, what they called a church in a day, which if you've worked on the church, you know that's why it was called that way, all right? You know how it was put together well, but I'll tell you what, it's a church in a day, all right? They built this place in a day, amazingly. But there's people who sacrificed, who gave. There was a small group of people that 30 years ago prayed that God would do something like what we're seeing today in Hope City. And you know what? Here's what came on my shoulders. We can't just sit back and skate. We can't sit back and just go, oh man, we got a great free building. We have to be thinking, okay, what are we going to do for the people that come 30 years from now? What are we going to do? God, what kind of responsibility have you put on our plates to sacrifice for the kingdom of God here in White City so that we can see you move in a powerful way? We can't just sit back and be comfortable with a free building. How about we say, God, okay, we're going to take this into the next season and we're going to do everything we can because we're not comfortable with one person going to hell in this city. We're going to multiply, God. Help us. Help us. So how do we multiply the kingdom of God? It's by bearing good fruit, especially in the area of generosity. And as you look at this scripture, there's three don'ts that God gave us to be able to multiply. And I want to highlight because I think it's still important to us today. This matters to you and I because some of us are going to be called. Others are going to be called to be generous, to move the kingdom of God forward. And so here's the three don'ts. Don't number one, don't let money hold you back. Don't let your checkbook decide what you're going to do. How about we step out in faith and say, God, whatever you call me to do when it comes to my finances, I'm willing to do it. Matthew 10:9, and this is what he told the disciples. Don't take any money in your money belts, no gold, silver, or even copper coins. When Jesus called the disciples, he asked for complete dependence on him, starting with their need for money. Jesus was going to take care of their every need through the generosity of his people. How many times today does money get in our way of being obedient? Well, God, I'll do this when I can afford it. You won't ever be able to afford it, so step out and trust him. God, I'll do this when I have more money. No, step out. Trust him in generosity today. Don't make your decisions off of what's in your checkbook or what you have or what you don't have. Young people in this room, I want you to look at me for just a minute. Your life belongs to God. So when you're deciding what you're going to do for your career, you better stop and ask him what he wants you to do. How about lay it at his feet and say, Jesus, I don't have to be rich in this world. but I want to be rich in your kingdom. I'll do what you call me to do. You think about this. The disciples were in that 20 to 25-year-old age range when Jesus called them. He came along and he said, follow me. And I want you to know there's too many young people today trying to figure it out on their own what God would, are trying to figure out what they're supposed to do with their life, and they haven't invited God into the process at all. So if you're a young person in this room, will you please make that call like, Lord, what would you have me do? If you want me to be a pastor, I'll go do it. If you want me to serve as a missionary, I'll go do it. God, whatever you're calling me to do, I will go and do it. I give my life to you. Make that your prayer request if you're young in this room. Ask the Lord what he would have you do. Don't move until he directs you. Here's the other thing about money. If you're not careful, money can easily become a god in your life. You could worship your money more than you worship God. How do you know? When you look at that and you're letting your pocketbook determine what you're going to do. Allowing money to guide and direct your life more than we allow Jesus to guide and direct our life is a problem. You can't love money and serve God at the same time. That's what the Bible says. And money's not the issue. It's what we do with it. It's the heart issue. Generosity breaks this in our lives. It's why Jesus called the disciples to step away from everything they own and had. The real question Jesus was asking the disciples is, do you trust me enough to take care of your needs? In our world today, we live in one of the most blessed countries in the world. And some of the biggest problems we have is with money, because we don't give it to God properly and say, God, you take care of this. I want to be generous. You might think, well, was it hard for the disciples to step away from what Jesus was calling them to do? You better believe it, because remember, Matthew wrote this book. And what was Matthew? Matthew was a tax collector. His life was based around money. And Jesus comes along and says, leave it all behind. And there was no going back. When he gave up this thing, there was no going back. In one moment, Jesus asked him to step away from it all. There would have been no going back. It was a huge ask that Jesus was making. I want to encourage you, don't let your money control you. Don't let your mood be determined by what you have in your bank account. How about we say, God, I trust you. You're going to take care of it. Don't let fear and anxiety and worry. We live in this incredible country and we're consumed by fear, worry, anxiety, especially when it comes to our money. Trust Jesus enough to take care of every single one of your needs when you step out to follow him. He will multiply your generosity and you will see him do incredible things when you obediently follow his guidance and direction in your finances. So my question for you is, do you trust God enough to step out and let him take care of every one of your financial needs? When God calls you, are you obediently following him? Are you letting your checkbook determine what you're going to do? So much of the time, God asks you to take the first step. To the disciples, he said, don't bring anything along with you. Don't bring your money belts. Don't bring your gold, silver. And he doesn't tell them anything else until they step out. We want to know the plan. See, because the problem is we want to control things more than we want to trust God to do it in our lives. If you'll give up control, and you'll say, God, I trust you in every area. He's going to do incredible things when you step out. There's going to be multiplication. Don't worry about things. That's another thing in America. We have this focus on all of our things. And we're so worried about our things. They literally become a noose around our neck. Jesus went to tell them in Matthew 10:9. He said, don't even carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes or sandals or even a walking stick. Along with money, Jesus was very clear. Do not let your material possessions keep you from following whatever Jesus calls you to do. Some of us were so busy trying to get material possessions that that's what guides and directs your life. And I want to tell you, it is a cruel taskmaster, because you get stuff and then you realize you're still just as empty as when you didn't have it. Our little grandson, Huddy, gave me such a great picture of this. One of the first things he learned was more, 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 more. And I thought, that's like all of us. More, more, more. And then he learned the word remote. So he goes, mote, more, mote, more. Listen, we get into this more, 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 and it becomes a taskmaster, a cruel taskmaster. Jesus said, leave it all behind. People spend a good majority of their life chasing material positions and miss out on what God has called them to do. They focus more on multiplying their kingdom than on the kingdom of God. One thing you learn, and I've said it, is it's a vicious cycle. When you have the right kingdom perspective on your money and material things, you generously use your money and your things to multiply the kingdom of God, and you're going to find true satisfaction. There is nothing like seeing somebody transformed and their life transformed because of your generosity and your time and your talents and treasures. People's lives are transformed when we give them an opportunity to know who Jesus is. Jesus asked his disciples to leave everything. What is it that God is asking you to give back to him when it comes to your things? What things or the desire for more things are keeping you away from doing what God has called you to do, are keeping you from fully committing to multiplying the kingdom of God? There may be some in this room that you're even wondering, why does generosity and multiply the kingdom of God even matter to me? Because that's what we've been called to do as believers. You are here. Your life has been transformed because someone was willing to sacrifice for you. Someone was willing to say, I'm going to share the gospel no matter what it costs. Saying yes to following Jesus, hit the call on his life so that you could hear the gospel. Let's pay it forward and be willing to say yes to Jesus no matter what it costs. Don't, number three, don't withhold generosity. Jesus' last statement was this, don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. So he was saying on one hand, as disciples, I'm going to take care of your needs through the generosity of others. On the other hand, as followers of Christ, he's saying, you be those people who generously meet the needs of those that are serving. That's why when we come to the church world today, that's why we take care of our pastors. That's why when people step out in vocational ministry, they step out in full-time ministry. That's why we take care of them. That's why we give. That's why we step up and say, listen, for the people that are stepping out in full-time ministry, we're going to take care of them. We're going to be hospitable. Don't withhold generosity for those that Jesus calls to serve. God calls people today, and that multiplication. So we went from 12 disciples to millions of people around the world stepping into full-time vocational ministry. God calls pastors to work in his kingdom and to train up and equip the body of Christ. Some people will ask me, man, it must be nice to be a pastor. All you do is sit around and do a sermon once a week. And that's, no, trust me, ministry is 24/7, right? It is nonstop. And when you look at that, you say, okay, we're going to take care of the people in our lives who are serving in that kind of realm. That's what Jesus said. He said, be generous and take care of the people who are called to follow Jesus and do the work of the ministry. Not everyone in this room is going to be called to step into full-time vocational ministry. But our job is to say, okay, God, we're going to take care of those workers. We're going to take care of those people. And sometimes people have a hard time with that because they look at pastors that are focused on in the media today that live in big mansions and whatever. And you're like, okay, that's not any of us, right? It's a small percentage. But we have to follow. That's what Jesus called us to do. This focus on multiplying the kingdom and accomplishing all that God has for us to accomplish is something that we all work towards and work together on. Today, I want to challenge you. Ask the Lord, what area in my life do I need to be more generous? The second question is, God, what are you calling me to do? What's the call on my life? And I want to generously follow that call. Every person in this room has a unique call. There's not one person that doesn't. And asking the Lord to show you what that call is the key to seeing him do incredible things in you and through you. The greatest resource God has is you. And I want to tell you, the saddest thing I would see is looking back over my life and realizing that I missed an opportunity to serve God. I miss the opportunity to do what he's called me to do. And so I want to encourage you with those two questions.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.